Hello and welcome. This is Let's Talk Health with Dr. Mike. And I am Michael Wolfeld, the staff naturopath with Furium Health Products. And of course, it's always nice to be with you and to remind you fine listeners that Furium is a unique company, especially in the network marketing arena, for a couple reasons. The biggest reason is we make our own products. Very unusual in today's world. If you look at labels, I don't care if you're in a health food store or a grocery store or whatever, and you pick up anything, supplement, food, or whatever, and you read on the back where it says manufactured by, you won't see that very often. You'll see things like manufactured for, exclusively formulated for. You'll find all sorts of euphemistic terms that basically mean that company didn't make their product. Someone else made it for them, namely a co-packer. And we at Purium, of course, our parent company is called Organic by Nature, as some of you probably know, and we make a lot of other people's products because they don't make their own products. And, you know, sometimes you have to make things that you wouldn't take yourself. But what we make for Purium is what we all eat. And so we don't have fillers, binders, excipients, and things like that that you wouldn't want in your food, and you certainly shouldn't get in your supplements. So that makes us unique. The second thing that makes us highly unique, the third thing I should say, first is that we make our own products. Second is that we don't add anything to it other than the real food. And third is we're a family-owned company. We're not a big mega corporation, and hopefully we'll stay that way. And with all the nice support we get from you guys, we should be able to do that. The topic tonight is transforming our life, the next step. Now, many of you have done our 10-day transformational cleanse. And I don't know how many people recognize or even gave any thought to the word transformational. You know, why did we pick that word? You know, we started out with the anabolic fast, and of course, that doesn't mean a lot to too many people, whereas transformational cleanse is a very good term. But to really get the most out of what the word transformational means, it helps to ponder it. It helps to ponder what you're actually doing. Now, I'll be the first to acknowledge the fact that many people came to doing the cleanse because they wanted to lose weight. And there's nothing wrong with that. Humans, especially Western civilization, we are great dieters. It has been said that the average person who diets loses somewhere in the neighborhood of 500 pounds over a lifetime in terms of going up and down, up and down, up and down, yo-yo effect. Now, the main reason we call it transformational cleanse is we would like to help you all break that cycle. Now, you have to realize that the majority of companies who make products and have programs, whether they be, you know, long time ago there was a product called MetraCal, which my mother used back in the 60s, I think. I don't even know if that's still around. You know, but SlimFast, Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, all these things. And they are really working on the premise that they're counting on you to be a yo-yo. That, in other words, you're going to do their program, you're going to lose weight, but then you're really going to go right back to doing some of the bad behavior that you did, and then they're going to see you again a year or 2 years later. And that's what they want. So they're really, Weight Watchers is probably the best of them in terms of trying to get people to really do a philosophical, you know, change. But I can tell you, I've talked to many Weight Watcher people over the years, And I even know one particular older woman that they used to go to TOPS meetings, which I guess was like a Weight Watchers thing. This was up in Michigan, I think. And they would go to the TOPS meeting and, you know, weigh in and blah, blah, blah. And they'd have, you know, they'd have a talk and they would get encouraged and this kind of thing. And then they would leave the meeting and they would go to, I think at the time it was Bob's Big Boy and have pie and coffee. You know, about 9 o'clock at night. Now obviously they were missing the point. But they were long time members of FAPS. Okay, so we really want to help you not do that kind of thing ever again. And hopefully most of you have never done that. But I'm sure many people have done the weight loss yo-yo, where you've lost 15, 20, 30, 40, whatever, and you end up gaining weight back. And it's frustrating. And so, first of all, that's not what you want to do for a number of reasons. The main reason you don't want to do it is because it's very, very difficult on your body. In fact, it has been said and estimated that the amount of stress that the body goes through losing weight and then gaining weight and losing weight and gaining weight is worse than just simply staying heavy. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and I'm not recommending people stay heavy, but the point is, it's very hard on the body to do the yo-yo. And so you don't want to do that. You want to get out of that cycle. Now, the one thing I want to really impress on everybody, because I think it's crucial, very, very important, is the idea that if all you are doing is doing this to lose weight, and that's your main goal, you will not be long-time successful. It's impossible. Impossible. You have to have a better goal. Because, let's face it, folks, you know, as long as we live on planet Earth, we're aging. And as we age, our body changes. And as our body changes, we start feeling different. Now, it doesn't mean it's better or worse, but it's different. And so, if we are so locked into body awareness, you know, in terms of looking in the mirror, checking the scale, this kind of thing, and that's our barometer, we're asking for failure. Because things change. And dramatically, things change the fact that every single one of us who's listening, plus yours truly who's speaking, one of these days we'll all be gone. We'll be dead. And that's just a reality. So what we're really trying to impress upon you is this idea that we really want to transform our life. We want to transform it into a healthy and happy lifestyle. Now, I want to read a couple thoughts to you that I think will be inspiring. And you know, we need to really have encouragement and come up with goals and make them goals that are meaningful, that will bring lasting happiness, not goals that are just simply temporary about wanting to get into a dress or a pair of pants or whatever, okay, because I'm going to a wedding. Those goals don't work. So here's a neat quote. This is from about 100 years ago. This is a teacher. One must never give up hope of becoming better. A person is old only when he refuses to make the effort to change. That stagnant state is the only old age that I recognize. When a person says again and again, I can't change, this is the way I am, then I have to say, all right, stay that way, since you have made up your mind to be like that. And we are what we think we are. The habitual inclination of our thoughts determines our talents and abilities and our personality. Thus, some think they are writers or artists, industrious or lazy, and so on. What if you want to be other than what you presently think you are? Well, you may argue that others have been born with a special talent, but you lack that, and, you know, that may or may not be true. But the reality is we can cultivate any habit if we put enough energy behind it. So you can instill any trend in your consciousness and thought right now, provided you inject a strong thought in your mind, and then your actions and whole being will obey that thought. So this is powerful stuff. Now, along with this type of idea, a very important concept is what's called introspection. Now, this gentleman goes on to say, no matter what the present state, a person can change for the better through self-control, discipline, and following proper diet and health laws. The only reason you think you cannot change is because of mental laziness is always the secret cause of all weakness. So in other words, we've got to train our minds to realize that we are powerful and that we can make changes in ways that are going to encourage us to be healthier and happier. Now, as I said a second ago, one of the most important things that any of us can do on an ongoing basis, in fact, this is a good thing to do every day, and you don't do this as a chore. You do this because you see it as a way to make yourself better. The first thing to do is introspect. Take stock of yourself and your habits and find out what is standing in your way. Often it is inertia or lack of a definite, undivided effort and attention. Sometimes there are habits that need to be weeded out of the garden of your life so that true happiness and health may become more firmly rooted. One secret of progress is self-analysis. Introspection is a mirror in which to see recesses of your mind that otherwise would remain hidden from you. Diagnose your failures and sort out your good and bad tendencies. Analyze what you are, what you wish to become, and what shortcomings are impeding you. Now, you know, this is common sense. But the question is, how many people even attempt to watch their thoughts, to analyze the kind of habits we have? You see, everybody would like values freedom. I think everyone would acknowledge that. We all want to be free. Freedom of choice. Freedom to do what we want to do. But think about it. Are we really free? If we have a habit of uncontrolled anger, if we have a habit of out-of-control jealousy or greed for food or anything, if we have any kind of addictive behavior, that means that we are not free. Now, we can still be intelligent. We can still sound like we really know what's going on, but inside, we know that things aren't right. So this is why it's so important to take stock. And when we look at ourselves and watch our thoughts and watch our motives, you know, our feelings, you don't ever want to condemn yourself, judge yourself, say, oh, this is bad, I shouldn't be doing this. That's not the purpose. The purpose is just to recognize what's going on so that you can identify what needs to be changed. And it's not easy. I am not suggesting that you recognize a habit and it's going to be gone tomorrow just because you say, I don't want this anymore. It ain't working that way. Because habits are designed to make life easier for us. I mean, just think, if you had to relearn every day how to tie your shoes, button a button, brush your teeth, whatever, all these things, if you had to start over again every day, it would take you a long time just to get dressed and get out of the house. So obviously, habits are beneficial. But habits can also be very destructive, like greed, like anger. You know, these kinds of things are not in keeping with our highest good. And so, you're probably saying, well, what does this have to do with weight loss? Well, it has everything to do with weight loss, because if our goal has only been to lose weight, like I said before, we are very apt to fail. But if we have a goal that we're doing this because we want to change into a lifestyle that involves eating healthy food, that involves eating right portions, that involves chewing our food really well, then it's a whole different ballgame. Because then our goal is not simply to be able to look in the mirror and say, oh, aren't you nice looking? But our goal is to feel better about ourselves, knowing that we are improving daily. That's it. Now, here's another quote from this lecture that was given. Millions of people never analyze themselves. Mentally, they are mechanical products of the factory of their environment. Preoccupied with breakfast, lunch, and dinner, working and sleeping, going here and there to be entertained. They don't know what or why they are seeking, nor why they never realize complete happiness and lasting satisfaction. By avoiding self-analysis, people go on being robots, conditioned by their environment. True self-analysis is the greatest art of progress. I think that's worth repeating. True self-analysis is the greatest art of progress. And like I said, self-analysis does not mean condemning ourselves. It doesn't mean saying, oh, I'm so bad. It means, whoa, I just see something that I don't want to do that. Keep doing that. But you will never change anything until you recognize you're doing it. That's the secret. So everyone should learn to analyze himself dispassionately. What does that mean? It means that you're looking at yourself just as if you were watching somebody else. And you might make a suggestion to somebody else if you see them doing something that's really not good for them. You're not going to necessarily say it with a lot of emotion. You're going to say it because you care. That's how you should talk to yourself. Write down your thoughts and aspirations daily. Find out what you are, not what you imagine you are, because you want to make yourself what you ought to be. Most people don't change because they don't see their own faults. And trust me, friends, we all have faults, and it's not wrong to have faults. What's wrong is to not be willing to look at them. Because once you identify something that you would rather not have as a part of your being, you have just taken a lot of its power away from it. Most of this kind of behavior. Most habits that we have that are not to our benefit are things that we actually are almost unaware of. Or if we are aware of it, we sort of hide from it. Or we say things like, well, I can't change. Saying I can't change is like putting a nail in the coffin. The truth is we can always change. Keep that in mind. Now, another speech goes on to say, one who has not kept a mental diary should begin this practice. The knowledge of just how much and in what way a person fails in the daily experiences of life may stimulate the person to more effort to be what he should be. By keeping such a mental journal and by using discrimination to destroy the bad habits that create pain and suffering for ourselves and others, we will get rid of them. Simple as that. You know, every night we should ask ourselves, how did they go? You know, what kinds of things did I do well? What kinds of things do I want to improve on? Now, one of the big challenges that everyone deals with is some people, and sometimes, I can certainly relate to this, it seems very difficult to actually be good while it's easy to be bad. And you think that if you give up the bad things, you're going to miss something. And it's true. But the only thing you will miss is sorrow. And I think everyone recognizes the reality that many things that appear sweet are really like poisoned honey. You know, they taste sweet. But afterwards, you know it wasn't a good thing. Now, something that is very helpful to recognize, and this is a basic truth, sorrow, illness, and failures. Okay, that sort of covers the bases. Sorrow, depression, illness, disease, failure, not doing what we hoped we were going to accomplish, are all natural results. Natural results of transgressions against natural law that the good Lord has set up. So wisdom consists in avoiding these kinds of violations and finding peace and happiness within yourself through thoughts and actions that are actually in harmony with your real self, your higher being. So anytime there's an overwhelming desire that you have in your heart, that you want to do this, you want to do that, you want to have this, stop. Use your discrimination. And stop, actually ask yourself, is it a good desire or a bad desire that I'm trying to find fulfillment with? If it's a good desire, by all means, it's worth doing. If it's a bad desire, and you still feel like you have to do it, that's okay. But acknowledge the fact that you know you're doing something that's not for your highest good. That helps you. In other words, don't trick yourself. You don't want to lie to yourself. Worst thing you can do. You want to be honest. Bad habits ultimately lead to unhappiness. So once they're exposed, bad habits become impotent to hold us in misery-making sway. So think about it. You know, I remember many, many, many years ago when I was in college, I told this story before, but, you know, my friend called and said, oh, someone just brought by a whole big box of, jelly donuts. Do you want some? I walked a mile and a half to her house to get those donuts, not to see her. And I think I ate four or five of them. And they, you know, they tasted good at the time. I couldn't eat a donut now if you say to save my life. I mean, it would be, it, even the thought of it's disgusting. Because I haven't eaten one in about 30 years. But after I'd eaten those donuts, I didn't feel that good. And I think everyone's experienced something like that. I can remember going to a party and having more wine than I should have. And certainly not feeling too good the next morning. And sometimes not even at the time. So, resisting temptation doesn't mean that you're going to deny all the pleasures of life. It just simply means to have supernal control over what you really want to do. This is the way to real freedom. Not the false sense of freedom that, in fact, compels us to do what our bad habits lead us to do. So you see the difference. This is the secret. Now, when you say no to temptation, you must mean it. So don't give in. You know, the spineless person all the time says yes, yes, yes. But great minds are full of no's when they recognize that something is not for the highest good. And this is why it's so important to constantly be a little bit aware and on guard so you know what you're dealing with. Now, I want to leave you with one thought that has really affected me, and I think if you think about it, you'll see that it's very true. The greatest influence in your life, okay, stronger than even your own willpower or your desire to do things that are good and change, is the environment that you are in. So in other words, you may have to change environment sometime. So obviously, if you're trying to be, if somebody has a drinking problem, you don't want to go to a bar. You know, if you know that you have a problem with getting into eating Chips Ahoy cookies, you don't want to go down that aisle. You know, you want to be able to look ahead so that you can better take care of the traps before they get you. Now, there are two kinds of environment, you know, the outer environment and the inner. So what we're really talking about is strengthening the inner environment by strengthening the resolve to do the right thing, by being willing to watch our thoughts and our emotions and especially our motives. So your thoughts will uplift you or degrade you. So you want to have good thoughts. And you definitely want to be on guard against the thoughts and suggestions that come from other people, even subconsciously. Because everyone's vibrating. Their thoughts are vibrating. Right now, I mean, I'm obviously talking. So my thoughts are being verbalized. But you can pick up people's thoughts. And you want to make sure if you're going to be doing that, you're picking up good thoughts. So in other words, you want to watch your environment so that you are clear about what is really going on in your own consciousness. This is crucial. So friends, I know this has been a lot of information, but trust me, I would suggest listen to this a couple more times because this information is powerful. It has helped me. This is not information. I didn't create this. This is information that I have gleaned from people far wiser than I am. But I'm smart enough to recognize that it's the kind of information that I need to employ. Remember, the saying goes, knowledge is power. That's not true. Knowledge by itself has no power whatsoever. However, applied knowledge is powerful. So you've been exposed to a lot of information and knowledge here. that are from very wise people. And it is up to each of us to take this information and apply it in our lives so that we truly can transform our lives into what we would like them to be. So thank you very much for joining me, and once again, feel free and contact me anytime, email or phone number. My information is always available on the website. I love hearing from you, and especially if there are subjects you would like to hear covered, I love hearing that. This was actually inspired by two different people that called me, so that's why this subject came up. So I really try and meet the needs of the people that I talk to. So God bless. And the call that I will be doing, actually, it's in 3 weeks because there are 5 Wednesdays. So Dave and Amy will be doing the next 2 Wednesdays, and I'll be doing the third one, which I believe is on the 12th of June. And I will be traveling, doing some Purim talks. I will be in Paso Robles on June the 1st. And I will be in a pen grove near Petaluma on June 15th, and I'm doing some health food stores along the way and in between. So if you're going to be anywhere near Pen Grove or Paso Robles, June 1st or June 15th, we'd love to see you there. I'm also doing a consumer talk at Marlene's Markets in Federal Way, Washington, and that will be on It will be Thursday, June the 6th at 6:30 in the evening. And then at the same location, Saturday between 10 and 1, there's actually going to be a health workshop. And so if you're up in that area, feel free and come by. We'd love to see you. So God bless. Take care and bye for now.